Glory to God. Glory to God.
Our Father, we thank you for a time like this. We thank you for another opportunity to hear your word, to be taught your word.
We are ready to be taught your word. Our hearts and our minds are ready.
Yes.
Our whole and total beings are ready to be taught your word. We receive your word today with gladness, with meekness, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So, we are looking at explaining the book of Galatians. What are you guys doing back? Glory to God. Okay, we're looking at the book of Galatians. And before now, we are in chapter 3, verse 15, right? But that way we stop. Okay. We're supposed to start reading, but let's look at some things. Matthew 28 again. Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority. That's the word exousia. Power. All authority is given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you to always, right? Even to the ends of the earth. Now we said, this will be Jesus' closing remark, right? Was that what we said? Okay. Glory to God. So this will be Jesus' closing remark. Mark 16, 1 verse 15. Mark 16, from verse 15. And he said to them, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. What am I reading? Mark 16, right? I'm reading Mark again. Mark 16, 15. This is it. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Right? And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues. Okay. If they shall drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. So they will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. He said, then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth, right? And they went forth and preached everywhere where the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. Luke 24 from verse 47. Okay, let's start from verse 45. It says, and he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And our repentance and that is remission of sin will preach in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Hallelujah. So we said, this is Jesus' closing remark, right? And we saw that Matthew will say, go make disciples. So we have read an expanded version of Matthew's make disciples in Mark, Luke, and John. John will say, he blessed on them, Luke, John 21. He said, blessed on them and said, whichever thing they forgive, after the remedy, whosoever year within, right? Whosoever year within, it's within. So we write Matthew, that is part of view of Matthew's make disciples to be what? For the entrance into discipleship that Mark, Luke, and John will concentrate on, right? So when they make discipleship, it starts from where? The preaching of the gospel. The confessing of the gospel, right? Right? The man that believes becomes a disciple. And in that discipleship, Jesus was not just teaching them. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So when he says, make disciples, to say it will be to preach the gospel, the man believes it's still that forgiving, right? And we saw that it is only God that forgives him. Can you see that? Hallelujah. It's only God that forgives him. So that means we will find, come on, we will find in John, God giving man the responsibility, or we say man, God act of man acting in the stead of God in the preaching of the gospel. When a man believes, it, there's that forgiveness. What are you following that? Hallelujah! Glory, glory, glory! Glory, glory, glory! So when Jesus is teaching them, he carries the weight of the word didasco, didache. I'm just trying to remind you of that was last week, so he carries the weight of the word didache. Didache means how scriptures are explained, right? How scriptures are explained. And we saw from Matthew 7, from verse 29, 28, 29. When I was done teaching them from chapter 5, then they were astonished at his didache, for he taught as one having authority, not as he described. That means there's a way scripture ought to be explained, right? There's a way scripture ought to be explained. I think that there's no piece of scripture, how scriptures are to be explained. Glory to God. And Jesus showed us. It is his didache. So when he says not as described, you have to go back again. You have to go again to Matthew 16:6. He warned them to say, beware of the doctrines of the Pharisees. The Pharisees are astute teachers of the law. So they read too from Matthew, from Genesis down to Malachi. And he says, beware of their doctrine. That is how they teach. You remember? And they thought he was referring to the unleaving of bread, but he said no, in verse 12. Beware of the mode of explanation. So that means that the word scripture ought to be explained, that the Pharisees did not do. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So how? If you read John chapter 5, verse 39, it says, such the scripture refers to the Pharisees. It says, then you think you have eternal life. It says, these are they that testify of me. But you will not come to the conclusion, right? But you will not come to me that ye might have life. So it means, what it means is that a vital part of the Pharisee, or of their teaching of the Pharisee, a vital part that was missing was their conclusion. Right? Their conclusion was wrong. So that means, and Jesus said he testified of me. So that means that was testified was material. Material. It means to speak, to agree to the conclusion. Hallelujah. So that means scriptures will together point us to the Christos. Hope you're following me. So that means that was where they needed. Hallelujah. So their conclusion was wrong. And why would their conclusion be wrong? Because they did not read well. So Jesus will now say, have you not read in Matthew 19? Have you not read? When they came asking him about the laws in Deuteronomy, that he not read. He that made them at the beginning. That means you have to pay attention to details. Okay, follow me. I have to pay attention to details. I have to pay attention to how words are used. Glory to God. I pay attention to details. How words are used. Something I'm going to show us is we are discussing loyalty, right? Meet a loyal friend every day. There's something I'm going to show us about loyalty, I guess tomorrow. Hallelujah. Have to be loyal to how, you know, how you explain scripture tells how loyal you are to the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to see from the disciples. You have to be loyal. Glory to God. Amen. I didn't get it. So Jesus said, you have to pay attention to details. Pay attention to facts. Matthew 19. You have to pay attention to details. A Bible student of the Lord goes over what you know. You have to pay attention. Hallelujah. So Paul, without Timothy, is a story to show that they are proved as a worker that need not be ashamed. Right? He divided the words of truth. So that means Bible study has a lot of diligence to it. And we didn't find that in the Pharisees. Hallelujah, they have been already. He that made them at the beginning. Make them stay and eat it. Right? Now they say, why the one time give them a bit of the body? They say, one because they have it on the heart. So that tells you how scriptures should be interpreted. I have to look at background. Why? So just a few minutes before I got here, somebody asked me a question. And the person asked, you probably better ask this. Deuteronomy. He said, what did you say? Is it your church? Do you guys believe in time or retire or not time? Any kind of person in this one is asking. Hallelujah. So if you guys, there's a sister who wear trousers, and I'm not doing the world. And okay. How would you explain First Corinthians? I mean, I have a message on First Corinthians. And listen to me. Hallelujah. Yeah? Okay, what about the Deuteronomy? I said, okay. Let me know you're going to talk. And then my boy is kind of person. So yeah, okay, let me know. Deuteronomy. I just went straight to Martin and said, why is Moses allowed them to work? Why is Moses saying, man, you open on the woman, why would they be allowed to work? Moses, because of the happiness of the Lord. So what is the bargain? Then the Lord is the bargain. When you get the bargain, you know why Moses is there. Amen? I didn't give an answer. So we don't know. So, amen? Point people to your pastor's message. And I believe that in the coming days, we're going to separate our media from our website. Amen. In the coming days, we'll do that. So right now, we have both our website and our media in the same place, right? But in the coming days, we'll separate them.
So
don't be quick to give people all the answers. Help them build. Hallelujah. So there's a way scripture ought to be interpreted. Then now, what will you do? Pay attention to details, right? Start from the beginning, right? Jesus will say, beginning. So Jesus always speaks from the Genesis. Beginning. Arche. We'll be pointing to Genesis, right? In the beginning. So if you go, that's how the apostles also taught. They taught like Jesus. We'll begin to investigate that in the coming days and coming weeks. Hallelujah, they taught like Jesus. And they taught like Jesus from the beginning. So we'll see from the beginning. How are you following that? Glory to God. The teacher of the beginning. You partition the beginning. There's a partition in the background. Right? The background. Glory, glory, glory. In addition, Luke 24:27, you understand the language, you have to cross language barrier. It's part of the text. You have to cross the language barrier. You must not use words anyhow. Don't just put words in your day-to-day. Don't just put scripture from how words are used in your day-to-day. You have to interpret scripture with the way it was written. So you have to go back to their world, right? And I thought you have to sit in the seat of the first audience and hear what they had. Hallelujah. Hear what they are. Glory to God. Amen. So why was it called mystery? Why was the Genesis to Malachi called mystery? Who can give me that answer? I said it the last time. How was it called mystery? Eh? Amen. Why was it called mystery? Eh? Pastor, sure, you can see why we need to start again. We are starting on the way. At least I'll have to go back and repeat. But I feel I'm going too fast, right? Not too fast. There was a teaching like that. One of our teachers, he just mentioned something there. And now I get that was the fourth and last time. I feel that I was going to take it. Yeah, it's tomorrow. But we're starting off, we'll have a membership class for everybody. For the membership class, actually, the next 2 weeks, the next 3 weeks, membership class, we're going to have leadership class. Hallelujah. Leadership class, where you have leaders to lead. Pastor will talk about it. Pastor will talk about the word tomorrow. Hallelujah. Have leaders to lead. We're going to help you understand the word. I told you this. I told you this last week. I said the reason why it's called mystery because it's before we look at it, I call it mystery because it ought to be explained. It was in another world. Right? It's not that in the world of Moses was writing, there was a day in the eye. No. It was in another world, another language. So the reason why it's not called mystery, in this world, is because I have to cross the language barrier. What are you going to do? So because I'm crossing the language barrier, it's called mystery. What are you going to do that? It's not that when Moses was writing, there was a vineyard. I couldn't see the Lord. We can see it. Moses was like, Moses has said, no. I'm showing you this because it's been revealed by Paul. No. Amen? Caleb heard it and Caleb understood. Joshua did. So the same thing that Abraham believed. So that means there was no veil when it was not mysterious to them. Hope you are hearing me. So what makes it mysterious? They have so much unbelief. Hope you are following that. God's word is not mysterious. Okay, everybody, like, God's word is not hidden. But it ought to be explained. So put it see that way. So it is mysterious, not mysterious. Amen. Amen. About Jesus? About Jesus? I've not forgotten that.
Amen. So let's continue. So
now we will not find Jesus' pattern of teaching in the apostles. Now, where was Jesus teaching from? The Old Testament. We'll find it in the apostles. Right? How the apostles would teach. Hallelujah. How the apostles would teach. I'm not giving us the summary of what that taught us. Hallelujah. How the apostles would teach. Acts chapter 4, chapter 13, we'll find the teaching of Paul. Acts chapter 2, we'll find the teaching of who? Of Peter. Chapter 3, Peter. Hallelujah. So you find that they also taught from the Old Testament book. Nobody was teaching from his head. No, they were teaching from material. So that means, listen, that means the background of the four gospels, the book of Acts, and the epistles will be right. Genesis to Malachi. Hope you're following me. We'll take a step further today. So we said, Paul will write letters. Why will he write letters? We have answered that question. So get back to the second section. There you go. Why were letters written? Why were letters written? Come on, let me hear from someone. Why were letters written?
To address issues, and you were writing letters written. Eh? For learning. Okay, I can say something like that. Okay. Now, something that I need to see. Eh? Does the letter take away, come on, the letter that were written, does it take away the teaching that they have in church? Eh? No, so that means they were teaching. So the letters that address issues, right? And the letters also carry the weight of the word. Eh? Eh? Okay, the carry weight of the teaching, okay, which you will find there, Genesis to Malachi, right? Right? Can we now form the letters? We are together. We are arriving at conclusion together, right? Everybody look up. Now, it is the letters who carry the weight of their teaching, right? And also carry the weight of Genesis to Malachi. We can now say the letters they wrote was a shorthand of their teaching. Can we say that? Can we say the letters they wrote was the product of their teaching? Right? Was it a short man of their teaching? So can we not call that those letters? How about for you? Can we not say the letters are a short man of Genesis to Malachi? Right? Come on. Right? So the long hand is where? How about for you?
Amen. So the short hand doesn't negate the long hand. In fact, let me tell you something. I said this in during on the time we got to TV. I'm going to say it again. I am doing it. Now, the Old Testament book can be explained on its own. Genesis to Malachi. They are self-explanatory. But you know what? I want to say something now. I said it before. I'm going to say the Matthew to Revelation cannot be explained without the Old Testament. Amen. 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 You know, the funny thing some people do, and we'll begin to read the Old Testament book from next year. I believe God for that. When I mean read, like when we are doing Galatians today, and then we'll also do either Colossians or Philippians this same year. We'll begin to go to some Old Testament books. Now, you will discover that. What I'm trying to let you see is the fact that you will need the Old Testament books to understand the New Testament. I understand that they do. However, no, the New Testament, that is Genesis, the Matthew, the Malachi, is the explanation. Yes, I like that. That is the truth. But you know what? You cannot read it. No. You will understand this when we begin to read the Old Testament. You will discover that. For you to really get a full grasp of what they were writing, you will need to carry Genesis to Malachi. Do you understand? So because remember, when we read Matthew 22 from verse
35, he came to ask, what is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said, yeah, O Israel, the Lord. I mean, in Mark. Mark said, yeah, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. It's the Lord thy God is one. Right? You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all say on his hand the Lord is perfect. So he teaches something about that. Let me leave it. Matthew would not say the Lord, Matthew would not mention yeah, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Matthew 22, verse 34. Hallelujah. Now, why? To make you see that when the writer will write like that, they will write so that you would go back the full import of what Jesus said. Jesus was not quoting. No, Jesus was not quoting. Jesus was reading. So what would they do? They would not write in subject matter. So what they are doing is so that you can have a reference to go back and see that where Jesus was looking for some dictionary. You have to go back to the Deuteronomy and read everything. So, oh, this is it. Glory to God. Just like when he was on the cross, he wasn't saying, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, Eloi, lema sabachthani. Oh! Unto your hand I commit my spirit. No, he was not doing react that or something. He was reading it. He was reading Psalms. Hallelujah! He read the whole Psalms on the cross. But the writers of this subject matter so that you will go back and repeat. You see that? So the New Testament will point you back to Genesis now to where? Malachi. Okay, follow me. Hallelujah. You don't need Matthew to Revelation to be able to understand Genesis to Malachi. They are self-explanatory. How can I follow this? But I know we are lazy. In the beginning, the effort to start Paul and Paul. And then also Paul and Paul. Wait, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's see what Paul is saying. Oh, what the F means, according to Paul, is this? No! You read Genesis alone, and you would understand why Paul would call it the half of man. Are you following me? Alone! You know what it is? How are you following that? So, why? Don't worry, we're getting there soon. Go to God. What will read it alone? And you see that you know, obviously I've used new general mathematics where they give you the sword question. Before you answer it, you come down. This is, the heart of man are this. Okay, you're saying it's four. So, whenever you're swallowing sword, you're going to get to four. Right? Even if you do, that's what the are doing. You'll say, okay. And the emphasis is not for my boy. And that's what was upon the summit of the sea. And the Spirit of the Lord moved over the water. Paul, what would you have to say about this?
2 Corinthians.
Move the God of Israel that blinded their mind. Darkness. Blinded. Paul. What is blind? Shut up. That. Oh. Emphasis is not for my boy.
You are doing what they are saying.
Amen. But you know, I can read only Genesis and Exodus together, and I'll see what Moses is talking about. Oh, yes, yeah. Amen? Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Yeah.
How are you following me? I'm not saying what you've been doing since this song. This is actually an explanation of this, right? But this doesn't necessarily need you to come here to see it. It is this that will help you to go back. How are you following what I'm saying? It is this one that will say, okay, let's look at this. Sure you're following me. But what people have been reading, how people have been reading scripture has been the other way. This one. You need this one to explain this name. Actually need this one to explain this one. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. How would you explain what I'm saying? This one to explain this one if you're listening to an audio. This is why it's good to be around. Anybody that will listen to the audio, that we're hearing this one, what is this one and that one?
For you.
Amen. Glory to God. Hope you get what I'm saying. Hope you get it. Glory to God. So let's move a step further. So we can read it. Let's just rush and read. We'll round up next week. No worry. Have everything under control. I lost control of the wheel. We were in verse 15, right? So what have we seen thus far? Let's quickly get back to what have we seen thus far?
What is called, what is the law? Remember, Paul, as we all see. Now, you see the way we are now. We are now reading this and we are taking it back. Actually, if you go back to Moses, I shared this with someone some days back. I have go back to Moses.
It will be clear. Eh? It will be clear. If you are reading Moses well, with an unveiled face, amen, with an unveiled face, it will be clear you need to see most of Moses, the law of the Spirit, and the law of sin and death. It is clear. And the reason for the law of sin and death is because of Exodus chapter 6 verse 9. It is not believed.
Okay, I'm following you.
How is it? Unbelief was the number of the law of sin and death.
Amen.
We're going to see it together.
So when Paul and I write, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I said before the law of sin and death. What do you think is talking about? I said, no, Jesus has set me free from the law. No, the law of the Spirit of life, that is an interpretation of Moses. Moses wrote of the law of the Spirit of life. Okay, follow me. And he also wrote of the law of sin and death. Is that what you say? Let's leave that. Amen. Let me give you those that you don't need for now. There are some those you don't need for now. Glory to God. Galatians 3, verse 15. He said, brother, I speak after the manner of men. I need you to see this. He said, though it be, but a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed on men. If it is confirmed, no man and disannulled or added thereunto. It's telling you, if you look at when a treaty has been reached, right? A covenant is a treaty. Diatheke in the Greek. It's a treaty, is a testament. Now, when a testament has been reached between both of us, we sign it. You don't go back to Joseph, you don't add those stuff. That's what we sign to the terms and conditions. You don't go back to us. Right? Right? Amen? So he said, I speak concern as a man. So he's telling you how it happens, right? Now look at verse 16. So when it says, if it is confirmed, that word confirmed is the word kurio in the Greek. It means to rectify. When you rectify it, everybody has signed. You can't add or subtract. Now verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made.
To Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. I need you to see this.
Now when you use the word seed there, it's the word in the Hebrew zera.
Now look at what Abraham is about to say. Okay, I follow here. Look at what Abraham is about to say. He says,
Paul, he says, he saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, when he says seeds,
now look at what he says. The word zera, there is nothing like zera. There is no plural for zera. So he said, when he says to Abraham and his seed, zera in the Hebrew, sperma in the Greek. Right? He said it's not plural. So he was referring to his seed.
You know, most times if you go back to read, that is Genesis 12, right? You see seed descendant. So it's actually seed. Hallelujah.
See, and look, let's get back to Moses. What Moses you see? Because of this kind of thing. You know, the Genesis opened with a land. Hope you know that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. F there the word Eret. Right? Eret. Now, you see why Moses would now say that it's a level seed to bring forth fruit according to his kind. Now, when it says Eret, the beginning, God created the heavens and the land. So the land did not just start in Genesis 12. Never did the land just start in Exodus, no. God created. So remember, it's coming to take them to the land filled with milk and honey. Just put that at the back of your mind, right? So it's coming and telling them the beginning God created the heavens and this land you are going to. Okay, I'm following that. Yeah? The heavens and the land. And the earth, we can put it, and the land was without form and void, and that was upon the surface of the sea. So that word earth is used for land, is used for sand, is used for earth, is used for this. Okay, following me. Okay, with me.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So it will not be hard for you to now see where seed came from. Right? Seed, how will this be? He said the seed will bring forth the seed will bring forth after its kind. Did you see that? So when man gets to take note of that, how will this be, how will the heavens be in all the air? There will be a seed, and the seed will bring forth its kind. Right? Genesis 1:11. Now man gets to Abraham. He now said, to thy seed. This is that. So your man should go back to Abraham's seed first. Seed will be how God's promise in Genesis 1:1 will come to pass. See? Glory to God. Amen? I've talked a lot about ministry of angels, right? Right? These are there. But there's something I want to say. I just want you to ask. Glory to God. I need to be sure. I'm not saying that. I don't say it. Glory to God. I want to tell you, you could remember that angels were made in Genesis 1. Oh yeah.
Well, you see it too. Hallelujah. We're getting there after these teachings. Glory to God. You see angels. Glory to God. Say, okay.
So what? Some people think angels preexisted Genesis 1:1. You know? I tell you, just be calming down. Be calming down. How are you doing?
It is better for the farmer. Don't keep that.
Like farm people used to be here. They are nowhere.
Oh, true. What do you mean, sir?
Are you there? Amen. How did I get to all this talk now? I'm feeling too excited. I'm talking in tongues. No, hallelujah. I get a seed, right? See. So, when Moses, so, listen. So, how will it happen? So, the first time seed was mentioned was how? Genesis 1. Was it seed shall produce its canoe? The seed. How will it happen? Heaven is not the end. It says a seed will produce its kind. Seed, right? So that means the first measure of seed in scripture was one. Take note of that. One, right? So in Abraham, it can be multiple. It should be one. Okay, follow me. So that is seed. So Paul will now say that seed is who? Come on. It's Christ, right? Okay. But I say, verse 17, that the covenant that was confirmed before God, listen to this, I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, why am I reading like in one student? And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. Said that it should make the promise of non-effect. I need you to see this. Now when you read law, what comes to your mind in Galatians? Law of sin and death. Right? But that has been used. Right? Now, listen to this. This is what people use. I've seen a lot of people say, the promise was made in Genesis. So the law cannot stop it. The law has gone and has come and gone. So listen to what this is the nonsense people are saying. So, if the law is God, the law cannot stop the promise. That means we don't need the law. We have been tied into the promise. They are teaching this nonsense message. Hallelujah. People need that. How do they need this? It's just very simple. It says, there was a promise, and there was a law 430 years. It says, the law 430 years cannot disannul the promise. So which law is he talking about? If you understand how Moses goes, who was? Let's look at the 430 years of Genesis, right? Right? Who did Moses write Genesis to? Who did he say? He wrote Genesis to this, to who? An Exodus people. Right? Come on. So that means, I want you to see the promise to you. That means, well, Moses will give them as the 10 commandments, as the law. Let's say
But what you did at the law will be the same promise that Abraham knew. Hope you're following that. Come on. You cannot, I love what Pastor Shebu said, and I want to repeat it again. He said, you cannot read Genesis and Exodus apart. You must read them together. Genesis and Exodus. You must read them together. For you to grasp what is happening in Genesis, you must read it together with Exodus. So the law, I'm going too fast.
I know you guys are looking at me, I'm scared. Am I still teaching? Amen. I want to make sure everybody is playing with this. So when it gets to, because it's writing the same thing to the same audience, so it will be the same. You understand? It will be the same. Long and short of it. Hallelujah. So let's get to verse 17. So when he now says the law cannot disannul it. Now, if he's saying that 10 commandments, no. He's saying the works of the law cannot disannul the promise. Hope you're following me. There is the law and there's no works of the law. Hope you're following me. So when it says the covenant which was confirmed before God in Christ, it takes you back to Genesis 15, which is the promise, right? Right? So when it says in Christ, was Christ mentioned to Abraham? Was that mentioned to Abraham? That means I have to track back it. Why did Paul say Christ? That would be an interpretation. What are you following me? Amen? And Abraham believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's far be. He didn't know his name would be Jesus. Amen. Oh, you are following us. What did she tell this guy to leave me at home? Too busy. Amen. Amen. So, because Abraham believed. Okay, let me read what I have. Because what Abraham believed was in God's promise of his seed. Right? I will expand that. Not necessarily. What did Abraham believe in? Obviously, hallelujah. And there was no Christ mentioned in that conversation at all. So when Paul would not say Christ, it will be an interpretation. Eh? So I have my notes. Christ will not be the conclusion of it. Amen. Hope you are following me. When Abraham was hearing seed, Abraham believed God. When hearing seed, his mother was not going to Christ, was not going to God. You know, I used to remember what I used to teach here. When God said, as far as your eyes can see, Abraham saw the whole world. As far as the only world. He can't even see the whole of Egypt. Amen. But what did Abraham believe in? Abraham believed in God from of what we do. What is this? God is taking to Israel. This is Israel. Hallelujah. Just following me. We're following me. Amen. Alright. This is what this is teaching. Wait. The new structure that is coming on board, you understand all.
and they're going through the surgery, you understand everything together. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So let's go. So he said the law cannot annul it. It means, when he said the law cannot annul it, it refers to the works of the law. What? Hallelujah. And how did Jesus refer to the law? How did Jesus refer to the law? In Matthew 22, verse 35, okay, where I quoted earlier on, let's look at it together. Let's have Jesus refer to the law. Matthew 22, 25. 35. It says, and one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him, because what is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You love your neighbor after self. On these two hands the law. On these two hands the law and the prophets. That is to say, you look at all that later. Hallelujah. So Jesus spoke of the law as faith in God. Did you see that? Right? Love the Lord your God, and without thy heart, without thy soul, without thy mind, that's faith in God. Right? Therefore, I must be able since Paul has shown us that, since Jesus has made us see that the law, the summary of the law is what facing God, right? I must now ask myself, what is Paul referring to here that cannot disannul the promise? That would be what? The works of the law, right? How do I follow it? I must like that. Look at verses 18. I'm trying to be fast. I must finish chapter 4 and 5. Chapter 3 and 4. I must finish chapter 3. I must finish Romans 3 verses. Okay. Say, for if the inheritance be of the law, come on, let's read that law well. Come on, if the inheritance be of the works of the law, is that correct? Right? Be of the works of the law, it is no more of promise. Promise is epagilia then. What is epagilia? A promise that one will do something, right? Right? A promise that I will do something and I will fulfill it, right? A promise means I will get this thing done and I will do it without, you don't have to put an impulse. All you need to do is to believe in that process. Now what a promise is, right? A statement of I will do without any other person's impulse. So it says, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So the inheritance cannot be by the works of the law. It will be by what? By what? By promise, right? What God does. And what? Hope you are following what we are reading here. Verse 19. Wherefore, then served the law. What served the law? It was added because of transgression. I want you to see this. There are some that will say, the law! Moses gave the law because of transgression. No, read it. It's a part of the law he's talking about, the works of the law. Hallelujah! It says, why was the law added? It says, why was there the works of the law? Right? Why was there the works of the law? It says it was added because of transgression. What is transgression? Right? Okay, let's look at the word added. Added is the word prostitemin. Prostitemin, from two words, pros and sitemin. It means the word sitemin means to lay. To lay. Right? To lay. To place additionally. To place like an addition. Right? So it's asking you, why was it added? That is, when you hear the word added, it should make you know that it's not talking about the main thing. What is the main thing? For me, the main thing is the promise, which you will find in the word. Come here, follow me. So he now asks, why were the works now added? See, you're following that. That's what it's added. So when you hear the word added, your mind should go, added there should mean the thing that was the main one, right? So another thing was not added to what was main. Hope you are getting that. Eh? So why was it added? Because of transgression. Now the word, okay, when you say added, shows that it's not the original plan, there's an original plan, right? So something was not added, and it was added because of transgression. Now the word transgression, okay, Okay. Before I get to transgression, now, when we say it's added because it's not, when you use the word added, because there is not the original, right? So I have something in my notes. The original is, will not be what? Faith in God. Was that what we read in Matthew 22? Faith in God, right? Right? So the works were added because of what? Transgression, unbelief. Glory to God. Unbelief. Look at Matthew 6:27. I want to show you something. Okay, those are references for the word prostitemi. You can get that out. Matthew 6:27, Matthew 6:33, Mark 4:29, Luke 3:20, 17:5, Luke 19:11, Luke 20:11-12. I take it again. Matthew 6:27, Matthew 6:33, Mark 4:24, Luke 3:20, Luke 17:5, Luke 19:11, Luke 20:11-12. And when he uses the word transgression, I need to be a bit fast here. Transgression is the word parabasis. Parabasis. It is used for to violate. To violate. Do you understand me? To violate. So it was added because of the fact that they disobeyed. Right? Right? What did they disobey? The promise? Right? Is it also the commandment? Is it also the commandment? Okay. Okay. Let's continue Galatians. Are you there? When you were 2020, okay, let's see this. See, the seed should come. The seed, within the seed is Christ, right? See, the seed should come. To whom the promise was made, it was ordained in the by angels in the hands of a mediator. Let's quickly see this. Now when he said it was ordained, that word ordained is the word diatasso. Diatasso, it means to appoint, to give order, to set in order. Diatasso. Diatasso. It means to give order, to set in order. So when it says it was ordained, that is, it was appointed in the hands of angels. Very important. And you know what angels? Question will be, will it be supernatural beings, right? Right? Well, it's actually supernatural beings. So it implies there's something I want to say here, but I don't want to say it now. When I teach you angelic beings. Remember I said angels don't know, you don't have facts about salvation, right? Rather you have shadows, they will give you that I want to say something. Now you'll find shadows, you'll find figures, right? Angels use these figures, right? Because they can't explain it, right? You look at, just to tell Peter, you go and preach to Gentile, you got 4 feet and feet. So you get it. Yeah? Now, put your mind yourself, ordained in the hands of angels. And it's just, well, that accounts for a lot of figures you have there. Yes. So what was ordained in the hands of angels? Is it Genesis to Malachi? You remember, angels talk with figures, right? Come on, talk to me. Figure? Right? Does it play? So do we find a lot of figures in those books? Genesis to Malachi? Okay, let's narrow it down to Moses. Do you find a lot of figures? Right? When you tell them about God will dwell in your heart, they give the tabernacle. Is it like, eh? Who was supposed to be, who was supposed to be there? Who was supposed to be there? These are things we'll look at shortly. Now, when the Most High stepped down to the earth, he gave every other nation to supernatural people. And he left God alone, God himself was to be their God in Israel. We are familiar with it. But now, listen, that is the law. The law was ordained in the hands of Israel. Now, let me say, Genesis to Malachi, I've been given to angels. That is why I know. No. Say the law. Let's read it again. Let's read it again. It says, therefore, whatsoever the law, it was added because of transgression to the seed will come, and it was ordained where? What was ordained?
But what are you talking about? The law, right? It was ordained who? It was appointed by the hand or by angels, right? Angels. So that means. Can we say that?
What happened to him? Yeah? What happened to him? And it's okay. Come on. Place that, what I just told you now, place it in line with Acts of Apostles chapter 10. Place it. Can you see? Acts of Apostles 10. This chapter. So he said the law. We are talking about the works of the law, right? And he said it was ordained by angels. Right? When I get to Genesis, let's say to Deuteronomy, I was able to say this is the law, this is the instruction from God, this one is from angels. I was able to differentiate. In fact, and there was something I taught us concerning angels when I was teaching, which teaching do we just have? And I spoke about angels. But not this teaching now. Okay, so this teaching, earlier on, now in the introduction, I said something about angels. I said angels can speak and say the Lord, I the Lord. I said that, right? But you should be able to know this is not the Lord, this is the angel. Right? I mean, they can stand in and speak as God, but they are angels. They are walking with you. It's just like it's a messenger. So somebody has said, some of you are going to do it now. Some people do it. The first time you first gave a word of prophecy. Some people are trust here the Lord. Some people say, I the Lord, I'm telling you, go! Yes, I the Lord. Are you the Lord? You know that? I don't know what he says. My son, go. How old are you? You understand the fact that you are speaking inspired, right? Right?
Well, you know, you will not say that. You will not say it, right?
Go, my son, go. My son, Eden, my son. Stand up and go. Go by my power. Go by my Come on, what is it you doing? But you know, when you see that kind of thing, you should not laugh. Because they have to receive in such occasions, right? Right? But you will not do it. You are white. Because you know, I told you, you are smart with the things of the Spirit, right? But you think about that, you will still receive. Right? Right? You will not see 1 12-year-old boy having children. Having children. You are 27 or 32. My son, go. Receive the word. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Can you now see?
Angels can speak. So, even if you get the Lord, or I the Lord, going, you must say, I the Lord. This is the messenger. Right? You can know.
So you see, this is actually preparing us for Old Testament books. Shake and see. Glory to God. Okay. So it says it was ordained by angels. By angels. So supernatural beings. Right? So that means you will find angelic interactions through Moses to the people.
You'll find it. That's what I have in my book. You will find angelic interactions through Moses to the people.
So, what was under the angels? What was ordained by angels? Is it the whole Genesis to Malachi? No! I've heard people say it. That the law, everything, Genesis, the whole books, the whole law and prophets, Genesis to Malachi was ordained in the hands of angels. No! You think the works of the law. You see why it's good to read from Galatians 1? In context, right? So that means, I have in my notes, what was under the angels was not Genesis to Malachi, but the works of the law, because of what? Unbelief. Did you see that? You see that? Hallelujah. So let's continue. Let's read. So now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one, right? Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. You see that? God forbid. If there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law, works of the law, right? But scripture has concluded all under sin. That by the, I need to see this. You know, say, I don't know if you have heard somebody say, everything was concluded under sin. No, it is, but the scripture had concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. When they say conclude all under sin, what does it mean? The word conclude is the word that implies to enclose. Right? Right? So it enclosed all under sin. So what is the all? All is the word path, and it should be specific. So the all there is not everything with the exception of nothing. The all there is the works of the law. So he concluded all the works of the law under sin. That the promise by faith. Did you see? What is the ransom out? Promise by faith. Did you see that? Hallelujah. The promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that do what? Believe. Did you see? So what is the escape from belief? But when you don't believe, he's captured all under sin. Did you see that? Hallelujah. That is the works of the law. But before, I need you to pay attention to verse 3. Say, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Now I said, before faith came, what does it mean? Faith in Jesus. So before Jesus came, we're all shut up under the law. Were you under the law? Was the great grandmother under the law? So don't say nonsense talk. Amen. The law was not given to the whole world. The law was only given to Israel. Amen. So that's another word is Paul communicating here. Amen. Amen. So he says, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Let's read 24 so that we understand 23. Say, wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So it's not like faith came later on. He said the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So the bring us to Christ is not telling you, now we're going to explain that was Christ. Remember we said it's a conclusion, right? Now he's not telling you that the law was there to be carrying you, that Christ will now come afterwards. No. Now look at this issue. There is the works of the law, yeah, and there is faith, yeah. Glory to God. Now when he says faith should come, we're not referring to that faith will now come afterwards, like later. No. 24 had already explained that. He said the law was our schoolmaster. Now when you use the word schoolmaster, I'm going to use that for you. Now look at this. Schoolmaster is the word paidagoge in the Greek. Or paidagogos in the Greek. It's a word used for nanny, a caretaker. Like, the law was our nanny. So when there's a nanny, does it mean that there's no father? Permit my natural use of that word, right? But I'm trying to make you see something. Does it mean that person doesn't have father? No. So it shows that when there was the works of the law, right? There was, remember the law there was not the whole law, was the works of the law. Now when there was the works of the law, there was also faith. Right? Okay, following me. Now I said the law was our schoolmaster to bring us. Now we have to explore those words all together. Right? So when he said the law was our schoolmaster, a nanny, a guide, right? Right? So the works of the law was a guide to bring us to Christ. Now, I need to see that. Now, God said the work. Now, message was preached, unbelief came, right? Or there was unbelief. So you have all the works of the law together. Now, when he said was to bring you to Christ, was to make you see that the law was a pointer. That's to bring, actually, refers to a pointer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember Sabbath? They had, listen to this. Now let me beat the imagination. Sabbath, right? Look up. Where was the first time Sabbath mentioned in scriptures? Was it Genesis 2? The Lord rested, right? Genesis 2. Now remember, you might miss some things, but I need you to listen to me now so I don't miss it. Moses
was writing to an Exodus audience, right? Right? So he wrote for them and he mentioned 7 days. But in the days of Abraham, there was not like 7 days. Okay, I'm following you. Yeah? Did you see that I mentioned this for 7 days or rest or anytime? No, but Abraham didn't do that. No, I didn't do that. Didn't do that, rather. Are you following me? No, I didn't do it. Abraham didn't do it. There was no... Moses has mentioned rest, Sabbath, in Genesis 2. But we didn't find it in all the Petra. Did you see any Sabbath day? But we now find Sabbath day in Exodus. What is Moses doing? So that means, here's your following. Shabbat, or the Sabbath day, is an Egyptian day. It's an Egyptian word. Right? 7 days, Sabbath is Egyptian. Right? So now Moses now brings in a known culture that they've known for years to now teach them about God's oracle in Genesis. Hope you're following me. Now he's teaching them that, he now talks to you about our Petrarch or the Petrarchs of faith. He now says that there was nothing like a Shabbat day or a Sabbath day where they rested or did no work. No, you didn't see. But you now find it in Exodus. What is Moses trying to let you see? Maybe you see that was a shadow to point to something. God's rest. There was God's rest. Hallelujah. Which when a man believes, he enters into God's rest. And God's rest is not a seizure from work, but actually work itself. Hallelujah. What am I following you? So the opposite of rest is not work. The opposite of rest is conflict. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following that order. So rest means order. Rest means the work. Hallelujah. So listen. I want you to understand how Moses is writing. This is taking more time to explain than I imagined. Hallelujah. I want you to understand how Moses is writing to the Exodus audience. And he's telling them, since they have mentioned Sabbath day, now, why would they not have Sabbath as a practice? Unbelief. Because when you ask them, turn back and look at the Petra. You don't see Sabbath day there. You don't see it? No. But it was not given to them as a culture or as a like an order, like a law, because of unbelief. Now, when they had the Sabbath was supposed to bring them to who? Faith. They were supposed to see God's rest in the Sabbath. Okay, that's what they were supposed to see. So that is the law, the works of the law, Sabbath, for example, was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Hope you're following that. So to bring us was to point them to faith. To faith. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. Uh-huh. Yes, ya na na. Ya na na. Ya na na. Ya na na. Amen.
I just started.
When is that chapter 4?
So we hear God.
So the law as our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So the Christ there is an interpretation. Right? So let's say we are in the Exodus audience. You are not hearing of Christos. Right? There's no Christ. But to bring us to faith. Right? Would that be faith? Right?
Aha. Uh-huh. So, but to bring us to Christ, that is justified by faith, you can put it that way. So faith is also Moses' language. To bring us to faith is Moses' language. Look at the Deuteronomy. Paul will quote Deuteronomy when he says, when he teach faith in Romans 10. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, you guys have been quiet too much. Okay, faith, right? Look at Deuteronomy 30:14. Is there? So, faith is Moses' language. It's Moses' law. Okay, follow me. More faith is Moses' law in Deuteronomy 30:14. So, listen. Let's get back to Galatians fast. Are you in Galatians?
Yes, sir.
Okay, chapter 3. I see, I think chapter 3. Well, we'll finish today next week. God is good. Now it says, wherefore the Lord was asking us to bring us to Christ, right? That we might be justified by faith. Did you see that? Justified by faith. So we say justified by faith is Moses' language, right? That's Deuteronomy 30:14. The word is near thee in thy heart and in thy mouth. Right? Paul will not say the word of faith which you preach. So Moses' law is faith. Right? It now says verse 25. But after faith is come. What does it mean after faith is? We're no longer under a schoolmaster. What is after faith is come? Remember, he told you don't see faith afterwards faith to be distant, right? Now when he says after faith is come, you have to now look at it. After faith is come, how is faith come? Believe. Come on! So that means what I have in my is faith is come refers to when a man believes. So when a man believes, I want you to read verse 25, but when a man believes, we are no longer under his schoolmaster. Is that it? Is that it? No longer under this work of the Lord. Why is Paul hitting hard on this like this? Let me see who has been following me from section 1. Why is Paul hitting hard on some stuff like after the faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster? Why did he have to say that? No, that is a permanent blow or something. So why did he have to say that? There was a church that the denied that began to corrupt. That it must obey the laws of Moses. You must now start doing all those traditions, wash your hands, wash your black moon and all those. Paul is saying no. Because faith has come in Christ. We no longer under this law. So he calls those laws to master. So he's taking them back. So what is he doing? He has taken them back to Genesis audience. They are taking them back to Exodus. Making them see this is the audience Moses is referring to. Do you understand? So when they believe, they no longer under that law. You see that? So that was like Jesus will now, when they now asked about his disciples that were desecrating the Sabbath, they now reminded them of David. So David entered the holiest of all and ate shoebread. There was no lawful for a man to eat apart from the high priest. You see that? And nothing was done to him.
David was a man of faith. He's not now.
For others they would have died. Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
So we're not going to deal with that. Was it God that killed them? Oh, we're asking that the revelation of the one father.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Was this what I see there? You were ordained by who? By who? I didn't say a word of the same.
So don't be fast to conclude yet. Don't be in a rush to conclude. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Just anybody that has to do anything, your pastor has not told you. My pastor has not told you. Don't get it. Don't get it. So my pastor teaches me. You know, one of the rude things I've ever heard was what I heard in the course of the week. And I'm going to address it, even on in a larger crowd beyond here. Is the fact that you don't say, because somebody is your pastor, you must not believe everything he says to you. The reason why somebody is your pastor, a pastor is the word for a man. It means your shepherd. Not just a shepherd. One whom your soul has been committed to. You don't say, I don't, you are not supposed to cherry pick what your pastor teaches. I said that because of something that happened because of this. Someone said, he listens to his pastor, he loves his pastor, does not mean he will not accept everything his pastor says. I say, you are the kind of person your pastor doesn't need in his church. You are very much. Don't say that. You know the kind of labor pastors go through. And pastors have their own life to live. You think because he's a pastor, he doesn't go through the things that you go through. So some people think like that. Pastors are holy. They're not true. It's just that we still have time to serve the Lord and to lead God's children around. I'm telling you. You know what pastors go through for your sake. Sometimes the only time some people see their pastor when they are playing PA, you think that is all. Ah, pastor life is sweet. Have to stay, like what I'm teaching you today, I stayed around night yesterday, looking at you, battling with sleep. I said, no, I'm going to die. Nothing to sleep, no light, my phone battery went off. Pastor said, you don't say that. You don't say, you are very good, it's you, yeah, and such kind of things they will take. Don't say that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Look at the truth of God's word that we are hearing today. A price must be paid, and your pastors are paying. I hope you are following me. Pastors are. Ask your pastors whenever they have to teach you people. Some of them didn't understand the pain that I go through. I tell them, do your notes. You know, you want to submit your notes to me, and you know I will eventually read that note, whether before, during, or after you are done teaching that message. You know, you don't write nonsense. They don't burn you. Some of them have to go and re-listen to some messages that they were there. You know, sometimes you can be in a meeting and after I said something, you miswrite it. That's what they say. You go and get the message. Now listen again. Listen again. You think it is? You that have to listen to a message of just 2 hours. You are sleeping and waking up from one message. Go. I have a pastor. The other day I was listening to one of our worship messages. He dealt with me by that message. Dear time, I hold my hand. I was like, sorry. And the answer I needed was in fact 12. I need what it is. I just calculated sections, right? I opened my note, I saw it section 12. I know that chapter is easy. I said, no. If I get to that chapter, I have to rewrite the new note. I go to someone, hey! And what I was looking for was something in Roman. And it was in study of Roman. I had to go to that. Just for the Father, so that I can present the gospel without error to you. So honor your pastor. And we'll see how Paul will now get there in Galatians. Glory to God. So when you now reach chapter 4, verse 1, just take the next 10 minutes. Let's start from chapter 4. Verse 1, let's say, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, different not from the servant, no, he be Lord of all. What is he saying? Right? He said, no, it's meant to... I tried my best to look at this from strong concordance. When he used the word child, he used the word child there for nephews. The nephews is a stage of Christian growth. I said, no, that's an interpretation that is wrong. That's the wrong interpretation. Okay, now we talk about the head. We're not referring to you. Look at where we're coming from. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And he was explaining something of who? Moses' audience, right? Said the law, what they had as the law, also the law, was to point them to Christ. Now when they believed, they no longer under the law. He was explaining Moses. I said, now the head. Now who do you think is talking about the head? Is he you? Hallelujah. That's referring to the same audience. They were the heirs of the promise. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So he said, as long as he's a child, different not from the servant, though he be heir of all. Right? Right? So, the as long as will be what? Say, no! As long as you can be in the field for 20 years, you can be in the field for 30 years, you can choose to grow. Say, as long as he's a child. Why is he called a child? Only you were chosen one, right? Israel, yes, right? So then pertained the promise, right? Paul said that, right? So to them pertained the promise. So the promise, right? For as long as he is a child, so the as long will mean as long as he is unbelieving. Did you hear that? So remember, if you get to 1 Corinthians, child is used for what? A believer who is still working in the course of the world. I said I'm going to bring that in next week. I mean, during our last teaching. Right? I said something like that. Now, use a child. Look at how Paul uses the word child, nephews. For a believer who is still doing what? Walking in the flesh. Carnal man, right? Carnal man. The same way Paul will now use carnal man for the children of Israel in the wilderness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Mehmet. Obiapolemi, the same thing, Kanamet. Did you see that? So he unifies them. Now he now gets to Galatians.
Right?
He's still referring to those people in the law. He now calls them child or nephews. Why would he call them nephews? So them partaking their promise. But because of unbelief, they walk, they followed what? The law. They were under the works of the law. Works. He called them child. So as long as we marry the child, as long as he's unbelieving. Right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it's under tutors and governors. Right? Until the time appointed by the Father. Now when you see what? The time appointed by the Father will be what? What is the time appointed by the Father? What is the time appointed by the Father? Who just read it now? Go back, schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ. When we come to Christ, we are no longer a schoolmaster. So bring us to the time appointed for the Father will be what? Faith. That is the time appointed for the Father. Faith. What is faith? Belief. Did you see that? Did you see that? It's not far to see. But the time appointed for the Father was for them to believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you are following that. Now say, even so, we, when we were children under the bondage, we were in bondage under the elements of the world, right? But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. When he said made under the law, was referring to Jesus' natural descent. Jesus was not under the curse of the law. No, we were talking about Jesus' natural descent, Israeli. So he was made under the law. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hope you are following that. To redeem them that were under the law. I have something I need to say here, but I think I will take more time. So I will have to skip it. Remind me to get back to verses 5. Right? To redeem them that were under the law, that we, he brings in two things there. Father, remind me. He says, to redeem them that were under the law, who were under the law is your life. Right? So, Paul now changes the narrative. That we, he now brings in another word, that we. Now, when he said that we might receive the adoption of God, you can't say, he brings in two things. I'm not happy. But when I read it, I'm like, wonderful, interesting. And I have not seen this like this before. But I love how Paul just changed. Now remember, I said to redeem them that were under the law, Israel. Right? And we, so you don't have to quickly, as soon as I saw it, I quickly said, these are so before. What did I say? John 1:12. I came to his own with you. But as many as received me, this is to them gave the right to be called the sons of God, even though they have not believed in his name. Is that? So, he says that we might receive Eucharistia. So, Jesus came to redeem them that were under the law. As many as believe also, right? We now receive what? Eucharistia, adoption of sons, to be placed as sons. That's what it means. And because ye are sons, what does it mean to be sons? We'll look at that next week. Right? And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of his son into your heart, crying out, Father, this is wrong, bad translation. It makes you look as if the Spirit lives in your heart because you are sons. No. Actually, you are sons because the Spirit lives in your heart. When I heard this from a Benjamin, he says, the reason why we are called sons of God, the word son, is not like a father, a woman gives birth to a child, a son. No. Son is, wherever God meets with humanity, is called son. Hallelujah. God's son. Yeah. I want to say. That is a stepping stone to what I'm going to say some other day. Hallelujah. Here we go. Because in scripture, there are angelic beings, supernatural beings that were called sons of God. What do you deal with all that? Hallelujah. But just, I'm just telling you what I heard him say that was nice. Is that where you have the God and man lives, is called son. Jesus is called the son of God because God lives in him. Now we are called sons of God because God lives in us. Right? That's a good one to go. That's a good way to go. Bow. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Following me? Okay. Let's move one step further. We have 2 minutes left. So when I said that is wrong grammar, and because here are sons, no, that actually how the Hebrew have it is this: here are sons, because God has sent forth His Spirit. Sent forth the Spirit of the Son into your heart. That's how it's rendered in the original. So here are sons, because God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. So we are sons because of the Holy Ghost. You see that? Hallelujah. So, wherefore, thou art no more servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's end it here today. We'll take it from verses 8 next week into chapter 6. I pray we'll get to chapter 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.